Blog Talk Radio.
And hello again from Miami to Montreal.
You're not the best man.
Sweet cream on an ice cream sandwich.
Blew your mouth.
Excuse me.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Baby oil.
Oh. I don't even know what that word means.
You gotta be kidding
me. It's not over.
The world is listening.
Oh, my.
This is Chef Barday. Now entering the studio are today's contestants, a varsity villain and Ms. Wannabe from Georgetown, Virginia, Alex Riley. A third-generation wrestler, though his name wouldn't indicate so, from Champlin, Minnesota, Michael McGillicuddy. And a kicking machine by day and voiceover artist by night from Brooklyn, New York, Kaval. And now, here is the host of Jeopardy, Nikki Trebek.
Thank you, Jim, for that lovely, lovely introduction. Please do not Please do not adjust your internet. This is the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman. And we do have a bit of news, comings and goings in the wrestling business, and some comings and goings here in the booth. As you heard in the background here, our sound man and voiceover artist by night, Mr. Jim Williams.
Thank you very much. I'm a year older now since last we talked, and that means I think I'm 5 years dumber when it comes to pay-per-view pick'ems. It's a weird equation. It's very algebraic.
And also on your side of the planet, we have Mr. VRM.
Yeah, that's probably why I haven't been on the show in a month, since I know I'm going to get it wrong. By the way, Ford, how about that Sam Bradford?
Since you're here fourth, I may as well introduce you, because you are our fourth, as always. No comment? Fourth, are you still with us?
Like I said, I think he's still sore over Sam Bradford and the Pats getting an ass whooping.
All right. Let me just check something over here. Line four, hello.
Yeah, I think you accidentally hung up on me.
I am so sorry for it. That's not what I meant.
Oh, it's all right.
Okay, I have an extra line here. Extra line, hello.
Oh, that's probably me. I was pinch-hitting for VRM, but VRM's here.
Typo, if you want to stick around in case we completely lose VRM. I can leave you live or you can listen in.
VRM, how's your Skype doing? Is it going to hold up?
Yeah, but I might drop out anyway because I need some sleep.
I'll just be a background character. If VRM has to go, I'll jump in.
All right, just tag in whenever you're ready. So let me pull up my notes. So do we want to start with the good news or the bad news?
I prefer the good news.
I'm a pessimist by trade. Let's go with that, yeah.
Well, the family of the evil Dr. Levesque has once again expanded as Stephanie has delivered Triple H his third daughter.
Mm-hmm. Something tells me he's not happy.
He probably isn't. Insert the genetic sledgehammer joke here.
Does he have any wives downstairs?
We haven't figured that out yet, although we're thinking that most of that is being generated on the other side as Shane and Marissa, is his wife's name?
Yes.
Yep.
Have delivered their third son. So, yeah, Hunter's not happy. However, Hunter will get Stephanie back by opening the door to room 101 and using the FCW name generator.
Mm.
Please, get out of there.
There you go.
no offense, really. Normally, you know, if Triple H wanted into that room to get something, that's fine. He can go in there and drag Michael Cole out and beat the high holy hell out of him.
And then throw him back in.
Yes.
Oh, my.
Into the waiting arms of Heidenreich. Anyway,
Speaking of Michael Cole, I just want to know, did anyone see the photo of him fishing with Shawn Michaels?
No.
I did. That was on Shawn's Twitter, wasn't it?
I think it was. All I remember was Cole looked so uninterested.
Vintage bass, I think, was one of the best statements to this picture. Let's see. Jim, I owe you this.
Yes.
I owe you a button here. You said Michael McGillicuddy.
Oh!
Ah!
I apologize. It's minus 10. My apologies.
But we know who he is.
But I said to the character voice. No, I'm sorry.
I know. So it's only minus 5. But
right.
We'll get back to NXT in a minute. I want to continue with just the general news. So I'm going to sneak over to the bad news as we in the WWE universe have lost yet another. Luna Vachon was discovered, I believe, this morning. She passed on at the way too young age of 48. As somebody who's a little too close to 48, that kind of scares me. Unfortunately, she's a little before my time, so if I've got any old school fans here, I want to hear it. What can you, you know, what memories do you have of probably one of the craziest women in wrestling?
One of the craziest and one of the best heel wrestlers probably ever, a personality in the women's ranks. I mean, just she had that look that was different. She was counterculture. She was different, and that's what made her beloved in the end. I mean, she was an absolute sweetheart away from the ring and what have you, of course. It's a sad loss, and, you know, we had talked about, I think, a couple of weeks ago, the situation with all of her memorabilia burning down in her house, and that she had been with her mother's house for the last few weeks. So it's just a snowball of tragedy, quite frankly.
Forth, it sounds like you had something to add.
I was just going to say, something has to be said about someone who has a tattoo of veins on the side of her head. That was the one thing I remember the most about her, that, as he said, she did not look like really any women's wrestler. I'd like to say that she was Daphne before Daphne was cool. And that she really kind of had that look before it was really popular among fans.
You'll be all right.
I got nothing.
Okay. But I know that she was also an awesome manager. She'd actually managed Shawn Michaels for a time after Sensational Sherry had left, and we miss her too. Luna was also well known as the manager of Bam Bam Bigelow. There is no cause listed out there, as far as I'm aware, but my understanding that she was diagnosed with bipolar, I believe. So suicide is not out of the question, and I don't want to bring that up, but it, after the fact that she lost her home and her memorabilia just a few weeks ago, you can't rule that out. So she will
certainly
be missed. But I think the first thing she did when she got, wherever she landed, the first thing she did was she hugged Sherry, then she hugged Bam Bam.
Mm-hmm.
And the good Lord's got a hell of a card going right now. It's just almost no fair. Let's see. Ah, yes. And thanks to Bat Boy, I am going to break something, even though it has already been talked about a few times on the Russell Crap Awards. WWE has confirmed the release of Straight Edge Society member Serena. Her release actually happened earlier in the week, shortly after the SmackDown tapings. I have some more information as soon as I find it again. Let's see. The company had not yet. Okay, that's that. We already did. Several sources are under the belief that, just like Mickie James a few months back, there was behavior on the roof that led to unhappiness with WWE management. It was told of the case of her being warned several times that she could lose her spot, and it finally got to the point where they just got done warning. They just had enough of warning her, which is a
even
went
so. I was going to say they even went so far as to kind of bring some of that stuff into one or two of the little storyline skits, kind of like subliminal messages to her, but she wasn't picking up on them.
Can you be more specific? Maybe I'm just give some cues tonight.
Well, let me see if I can find it, because I don't usually watch SmackDown. There was one or two like backstage things, I guess, or maybe in the ring things, where they were trying to kind of subliminally give her a hint, like, you know, you shouldn't be out and about as you are. I have to find it here. Just give me one moment. I could have swore I saw this. I don't think I was hallucinating. Oh, by the way, Carl has responded, so
he may
come in momentarily.
All right. The door is open, so... what I was going to say is that, you know, would you be referring to perhaps using her as a as part of the Straight Edge Society's alibi when Kane was on his rampage? Would that be one example of it?
I believe so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That seems to ring a bell.
Because I noticed tonight, and you said you don't get SmackDown, and I don't, VRM, you said you didn't get to see SmackDown tonight?
No, I did not.
Okay. I noticed this evening, during the festivities, that Serena did not seem as directly involved with the society, yet where she was brought in, she was brought in as the rabid, zealot, uber, oh my God, Mark fan, that was fawning all over CM Punk, yet she seemed to be the furthest away from everybody tonight during Luke Gallows' match against the Big Show. When I saw, Joseph, I guess is a better term, salute, she was not saluting. I also saw this during the promo. So... you know, I wonder if she knew she was on her way out even then. They had told her.
Okay, I found the reference. It's from the Wrestling Observer, saying that she was released after a few quote unquote rough nights. It appears that the recent skits involving her and the Straight Edge Society were intended to send Serena a message, but management supposedly felt that she was not getting said message, so the decision was made to let her go. So there you go. They didn't cite anything specifically, just in general. Some of the recent skits done by the group.
It's a shame. The only good news on this is she actually goes out undefeated, winning her only match last week.
To be fair, of all the times you could ever have only one match in WWE, it's kind of an odd opponent to have, isn't it?
Kelly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't really comment. I just, you know, I find it a shame, and there are probably about 100 women wrestlers going out there saying she's an idiot.
Yeah.
Screw something like that up.
Mm-hmm.
Being that close to, I can't say a main event angle, but something that was definitely keeping Punk in the spotlight has elevated Gallows, has, you know, open the door to get Mercury back into the WWE. although I will savor the night that he runs into Morrison just to see what happens. You know, this was her way in. And all I can think of is one of the other guys whose head they shaved early on, somebody who ended up not holding, you know, not staying with the group, obviously. An OVW guy had gotten, had been brought in as one of the converted and had his head shaved. I bet he'd want to be on TV right now.
Oh, sure.
Oh. But no sense crying over spilt liquor.
When Scott Hall can come right by and mop it up himself. Oh, that's wrong. I'm sorry.
Oh, my.
No.
No, he's trying to better himself.
He's trying to better himself. God bless him for the 85,000th time. But, you know, hey.
and he's doing it on Vince's dime, if I understood correctly.
Oh, okay.
So, speaking of such cross-brand promotions, I'm going to throw this in real quick because somebody had mentioned it to me. Angle has gone out on Twitter and has endorsed Linda McMahon as a candidate.
Oh, interesting.
Even being a TNA guy, he came out and he said, look, you know, I'm not benefiting from saying anything about her. I'm a TNA guy and I'm going to stay a TNA guy. But she got a good head on her shoulders. She was a positive, you know, a positive person when it came to the company. She's going to be a positive person in Congress. She, you know, she's going to be somebody that can go out there and really help, you know, help this country out.
Well, that just put her over the top. Put her in office now. No, but seriously, though, it is a nice endorsement. Very nice.
Yeah.
I would say something, but I don't want to get too political here.
Well, I just wanted to bring it up. I don't want to discuss politics, mainly because I'm not a big fan of them myself, even though they do have a lot of their own wrestling connotation. Carl, welcome aboard. Hello, line five.
Hello.
Is that you, Carl?
I was called upon to do something.
I apologize. I was supposed to bring you on because you had attended a show.
Oh, yeah. Now I got to bring it back on. I'm online. Oh, boy.
Take your time. I'm going to grab another piece of news over here. WWE had pre-taped shows for these last couple of weeks so they could do some touring overseas. They have finally scaled the Great Wall of China, and I'm not talking Joni Lara.
Oh.
Sorry.
Back
you
Central.
Know I had to say it. I had to say
that
it.
That train's never late.
It was too easy of a joke.
Yeah, it was.
Uh-huh.
But while, you know, WWE really hasn't gone into detail about it, this is kind of big. Because even with WWE in a PG era where they are trying to tame what they've created, they're going into one of the most restricted media outlets on the planet. And we're actually covered by a couple of major news sources there. They have not come out on it. I'm guessing that they're saving it for a big splash on Monday during the 900th episode. Fourth, do you think this will turn into a regular deal for the E going to China?
If not that, then sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was gonna say if not that, then at least maybe they can try to open themselves up to try to look for Chinese wrestlers because we haven't seen really any wrestlers from China. Maybe now they can kind of break that barrier on a larger level.
And Jim, since you're a media guy, you know that this is an enormous untapped market that WWE could have some fun in. We're talking, you know, you can get
a billion people.
You've got a billion people to play with, which means if you get 100 million fans out of there.
Oh, exactly. You're making money out the wazoo. This is a smart move. Hey, everybody's doing these kind of moves. I mean, the major sports organizations, like crazy, go across the pond to England or to various other countries. But China, this is special. This is special. This could be the start of something different and may add a little more international flavor. I like the idea that this may lend to talent from that country coming over. It could be a very interesting – they can't lose with this. They cannot lose. It can only be a win situation for them as far as I can see. And I would say, yeah, they may want to go the Pan-Pacific tour route maybe once a year or once every 2 years. I can see that happening, definitely.
Because I know that they love going to Japan. The wrestlers love going to Japan, especially, you know, world travelers. Jericho was bragging all over Twitter about wrestling strong style with Yoshitatsu, which I'd pay some mania money to see this match.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
So hopefully they'll find a way to get this on American television.
Oh, definitely. That would be awesome.
So speaking of non-televised events, Carl, you got your TNA stuff up for us?
Not as of yet.
All
right. I'm still kind of in football mold right now.
Okay.
Yeah, he's watching his beloved Saints in Houdat preseason football, so.
Ooh, I shouldn't have disturbed you. I apologize.
Give me about maybe 10 minutes. I'll have it for you, all right?
Okay, that's fine. Let me go digging in here real quick.
I got to see a couple of pictures from Carl Shripp, and it looks like he had a heck of a time. And it's really, I'll say this much. I know I'm not going to spoil everything, but TNA, the one thing they do really right is house shows, by far and away. And Carl, from what he told me privately, just reiterated that point completely. So it's an interesting story, definitely.
Yeah, I'm fading fast. Can I just give the UFC stuff first?
Let's go ahead and grab that, VRM. Go ahead.
All right, UFC 118 coming from the Boston Garden, or I should say the TD Garden in Boston. Preliminary card will be televised on Spike with Andre Winner versus Nick Lentz, and then Joe Lozon versus Gabe Rudiger. That's the Spike TV card. Other preliminary card fights include Mike Pierce versus Almecar Alves, Nick Asipzak, if I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, versus Greg Soto, and Dan Miller versus John Salter. Then the actual card features Nate Diaz versus Marcus Davis, Ken Flo versus Gray Maynard, Damian Maia versus Mariano Miranda, the co-main event between Randy Couture and professional boxer, former IBO heavyweight champion James Toney. And then the main event on the night, a rematch, lightweight title. BJ Penn tries to regain his title against Frankie Edgar.
Okay. I unfortunately will not be catching this myself, but will you be seeing the CRM?
I will be. Yes, I will. I won't be going out to Boston because I have to stay home this week, but yes, I'll be watching this.
All right. Do enjoy. If you want to put a write-up together for next week's show, let me know.
All right.
And I can let you tag out from here if you need to go, sir.
All right. Time for your end.
All right.
Anybody else think James Toney's going to get knocked out in less than 60 seconds? Just a random question.
I think Couture's going to just tie him in a knot.
I think it'll last longer than a minute, but I don't think he's going to be winning.
Okay. Because that's the fight that the mainstream, of course, is going to be going berserk over, a boxer going into MMA, and see how well that works. He doesn't know what he's getting himself into, as far as I'm concerned. I'm not a big... I mean, I don't dislike MMA. I'm not a big MMA guy, but I respect it enough to know it's a completely different beast.
Right, and the limitations of boxing. Heck, you know, if you've even played Street Fighter for 6 months, you know that a boxer is a boxer's limitations are going to be hard against a mixed martial artist.
And when you're in that environment, in the octagon, you're still going to be kind of thinking to yourself, okay, punch, 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 and the other guy could kick you and sweep your legs out from underneath, and you're AWL. So,
yep.
Actually, I should say JWF and SOL, jolly well, and shit out of luck. So,
this is internet radio. The FCC doesn't care.
That's right.
Yeah, well, amazing. I censored fuck, but not shit. What's wrong with me?
That's better.
God damn it. Oh, sorry.
No. French is legal on the North American Wrestling Connection. In fact, Jim, I will even ask for the disclaimer. If you can find the uncensored DX press conference from 1998, we'll play it at the beginning of the show.
Okay. I shall attempt to find that.
It does exist.
Do.
I just don't know where.
Oh, I'm sure it does. I'm sure it does.
Okay. What else have I got in here? Before we got sidelined, I was going to talk about new talent. Now, WWE is jonesing to do a third season of NXT. And since the second season will be wrapping up next week, and I'm flipping a coin between Caval and Riley. Force, who do you see walking away with this one?
I was going to say they're probably going to go with Caval, if only because they already went with the dominant nature heel last year. But I wouldn't put it past him entirely to go with Riley. But I'm going with Caval.
All right. Typho, do you really think Joe Henning's got a shot at all?
Yeah, I think he's got a shot, but the way I see it going is, well, assuming they do it like they did the season one finale,
mm-hmm.
I think that early in the show, the first elimination, they get rid of Riley, and then the ending segment, Caval wins, and McGillicuddy finishes second. That's just what I see happening. I don't know.
Okay. And my other question, Jim, the rumor is that season three is going to be guys and gals.
Yeah, that's the hot biscuit, as they say, yeah.
Is that going to sell?
It could, but I think the biggest problem is they're going to do if they do a season three of NXT, they're going to have to accelerate the pace, because they only have how much time between this and the debut of a SmackDown on Sci-Fi, just a handful of weeks, seemingly, right?
October 1st is the last Tuesday that they have, I believe.
Right, so it would be an abbreviated competition or something along those lines. It's possible. The names that are being thrown out, according to my buddy Brett at WrestleChat.net, got to give him a cheap plug, sorry. Aksana, AJ Lee, Liviana, and FCW Divas Champion Naomi Knight. I think it's about time we have a couple of Diva NXT rookies. I think it could be interesting. God forbid they do the challenges like they have done the past two seasons, though. That's all I'm saying.
Well, they technically have exactly 1 month to roll through a third season of NXT unless they are still negotiating with Sci-Fi to try to squeeze another month out of it, which I don't know if they're going to get.
Especially if the ratings haven't exactly been that great, so.
Carl, you had something on that?
Impossible. You can't do it in a month.
That's what worries me. I'm curious to see if WWE can do one of two things. They could go ahead and in a manner that NXT gets its own show for the first month, and then it turns into a segment a la Tough Enough 2004, and they just segue it over to SmackDown because NXT is taped the same day.
That works.
Um, Now, you had a pretty good, you know, you've got a solid list there of gals that can be called up. I've got a short list here of the guys that could be called up. I mean, we've got Consequences Creed, a.k.a. Xavier Woods, Idle Stevens, please. Bo Rotunda, Richie Steamboat, Wes Briscoe, the current tag team champions, Johnny Curtis and Derek Bateman, Kuniko and Epico, which I guess are luchadors. My
Orlando Cologne.
And the current SCW champion, Mason Ryan, which makes me think of Mason Rage, but I don't think it's the same guy.
Well, he loves Batista.
What's that?
That's Welsh Batista, Mason Ryan.
Ooh. call him up, just for the Photoshop. Call him up.
If they give him a finisher called the Pit of Danger, I can die happy.
Mm-hmm. Well played.
All right.
So, go ahead, Forrest.
I was going to say, the one person I don't want to see, and you hear me out, I don't want to see Tyler Black, because we know there's no way they're not going to go, or there's no way that they're going to do anything other than Cole belittles the guy because the internet likes him. That's just something I honestly am tired of seeing with Cabal, and I don't want to see it again.
Well, I don't want to. If you bring Black up, I almost don't want them to talk about his independent career because I'm really sick and tired of Michael Cole in the WWE bubble. Was fine.
Who's Tyler Black? Don't you mean Rufus Watkins?
He's probably going to end up getting that name.
If he does, Tyson, I'm banishing you from the show.
I'm going to be going and trying to get my royalty check then.
Tell you what, if you get the royalty check, I'll let you back on for a small donation.
Yes. The Nikki Fund is looking, yes.
Well, the Nikki Fund is always interested in donors.
Yes.
So if anybody wants to contribute to the Nikki Heyman Fund, please go to nikkiheyman.com. There should be a donate button on the front page. Feel free
and we'll have a telethon later this month. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. I don't think anybody could take 24 hours of me, including myself. Even I got to sleep.
Understandable. Yes.
So let's see. Where can we go from here? I had somebody mention to me that they just seemed like there was a actual distinct lack of wrestling on NXT mainly when it came to the rookies. We got to see MVP Cody Rhodes. We could have seen that on Friday.
Yes. And correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't that a 3-segment match?
It was.
Or was I hallucinating?
No, you weren't hallucinating. That was pretty much half the show. Now,
I mean, you never see 3-segment matches anymore on TV anymore, seemingly.
No. And with two relatively new guys, given that Cody's been bouncing around in there for about 3 years, and MVP's been around, what, 5?
Yeah.
4, I'd say.
So it's kind of surprising because that's you know, 3-segment matches and beyond is usually safe for the main eventers. We got a pair of upper mid carders.
Mm-hmm.
30 minutes of our time, and I'm not going to complain. It was a good match, but that show is for rookies.
Exactly, that's the selling point of the program. You are to focus on them solely. Everything else is purely a bounce-off point, like the whole, in season one, the whole Miz versus Daniel Bryan thing. That was a great bouncing-off point. You really didn't have too much of that in season two, as much as there probably should have been.
Right,
but,
and when... Go ahead.
No, that's all I had.
Oh, okay. I think the way they should have played that is that I think Cody should have ended up fighting Joe Henning.
Mm-hmm. That would have been interesting.
A legacy match. And, yeah, I have to do this because we actually went
through. You said legacy.
I know I said legacy. And guess what? We didn't get it last week, so now we got to get it. Got to get it now.
And by the way, do you know what flavor that baby oil is? Cucumber melon.
Did you learn that from SmackDown tonight?
Yeah, last week I learned it, yes.
That was last week. This week we're talking about shaving.
Oh, God, I missed it. Thank goodness I missed it, I think. Oh, jeez.
So,
you don't want to cut yourself now.
Well, no, he was just, you know, he just spoke of how a smooth, clean body is absolutely sexy.
Which the animal steel will be damned, I guess, yes.
Well, yeah, and now that Punk has had to shave his chest for the new ink. So,
well, okay.
So, let's see. Okay, where do I want to go from here? Do I have enough people here to qualify to talk about TNA this week?
Well, you've got Carl. He's TNA, sort of. He watches more than I do, at least.
Well, I can go ahead and go on now,
actually.
Sorry, Carl?
I said I can go ahead and go on with the TNA live experience, although I'll be doing a shortened version of it because I'm rather tired.
All right. Yeah, I'll go ahead and give you the floor because the last thing I need is another person to fall asleep on my show.
Oh, it's not because of that. I've had a very long day.
Well, I know it's been crazy down on your side of the planet, man, so.
Okay, so let's see. I get to the building's very small, first of all. Jim's hearing this for the second time. I'm getting rained on before you even get in the damn building. I get in, get a program, get my ticket scanned, the first person I meet, Don West. What about loud in person?
I'm really loud, people! You should be dialing in! Jim Mid 10 Rooks Cards! Sorry.
Now, for
sure
TNA Live Event.
Go to the hotel bar first.
Oh, God.
Got it.
Now, for those who go to TNA Live Event.
Hi.
There's a package if you get a ringside seat. You get to go sit down early, an hour early, and meet and greet with some of the TNA superstars.
Sweet.
Which I have done. The following people came out and signed my little program here. Matt Morgan, Jesse Neal, Abyss, The Pope, Madison Rain, Jay Lethal. And then about half an hour in, Mick Foley came out to this little table that was set up all the way to the back where the concessions and all the merchandise were to sign autographs there. And I went to my seat to wait for the show to start. And then I got up and went to get some food. And then all of a sudden, lights go out. There's JB in the ring. Opening segment was impromptu matchup, Styles against Lethal. Stipulation was, if Styles win, no one would have access to go backstage, picked at random, with a little backstage passes. If Lethal won, then certain people would have the chance to win those backstage passes.
Very cool.
7 minutes, and then finally Lethal comes with his finisher, smack, 1, 2, 3. So then they started picking people just randomly. All of a sudden, then we have the knockouts match of the evening. Madison comes out to face Taylor Wilde. Of course, your typical, I don't want to hurt a nail type of match.
Mm-hmm.
Like fake right. punches, you could tell. Let's see, after a little bit, about 5 minutes, Taylor Wilde rings with a roll up. I gotta say, those women are small as hell.
I've met Madison Rain in person when she was still working for Shimmer, and I think I'm taller than her. And
I think
you
are.
My, I'm 5 foot nothing, so that tells you how short she is.
Yeah, she is small. Like, I'm not kidding. And then we get this kind of something put together by Nash and Jarrett. They come out. Jarrett plays a heel for a little while, and actually, him and Brian Hebner end up wrestling each other for a little while.
So that's odd.
Yeah, I guess you can call it the circus match of the evening.
Okay.
Yes.
Then all of a sudden, Slick Johnson comes out to help out, and then Nash with a big boot on Jarrett, 1-2-3. Jarrett gets on the mic, thanks us for coming out. And then when you get to a hard-hitting match, you got Ink against Team 3E. Hard shots in this one. This one actually lasted almost 15 minutes. Miss Q by 3D, Devon knocked Bubba right on his ass with a clothesline. He exchanged, and then Devon knocked him with a clean punch. Then intermission came, and then more of Don West in the ring. Oh, boy. Announced that Taylor Wilde was going to the little table for autograph signing. So I got that, too. Intermission over in about 20 minutes. Get back to the ring. Matt Morgan comes out versus the Pope.
Mm-hmm.
Pope wins with his finish in about... actually, this one wins in about almost 20 minutes. I'd have to actually find the time. Wow. This lasted a good while. And then main event match, Abyss against Jeff Hardy in a Monsters Ball match with Foley as referee. And actually, if you go on Borash's YouTube account, he's got a video of Jeff Hardy making his entrance. Proceeds to follow him around the ring like a little puppy. You can actually spot me very briefly in the crowd.
You should get a royalty check for that.
Yeah, I'll turn to you for my royalty check here.
I'll be your manager. Don't worry about it. I got you.
Well, shoot. Somebody just jumped the gun on me. Damn you, Jim.
Well.
Anyway. let's see. Hardy took a stiff garbage can shot in the match, and then all of a sudden... we get to see Thumbtacks live in person. Ooh, boy. Although Hardy kind of botched the flip over off the top rope to try to powerbomb him on the tacks. He kind of botched that a little bit.
Ouch.
Twist of Fate. Swanton by 1-2-3. Then, of course, they clear the ring out of all the tacks and all because, bonus surprise, you get to... get in the ring and take your picture and get an autograph with Jeff Hardy for $20.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like what they did at the last TNA house show I went to. They did that with Kurt Angle. And then another show they did that with AJ and Joe.
Yeah, in this case, Jeff was the main event attraction here, and I got to go in there. Actually, I posted that on Facebook. Actually, I have pictures I have yet to post, but I've been real busy lately.
You're not the only one. I've got my pictures to post from Infinity Pro. Normally, I don't bring up IPW, but I have to bring it up tonight just because we had this was their 9th anniversary show, and they had a stacked card.
Okay, let's see. After that. After I got the picture with Hardy and the thank you, I got Borash to sign my damn program.
Mm-hmm.
Shook his hand. And then went back over to the little table that was set up. Jeff Jarrett was signing autographs. Got that, and finally D'Lo Brown's lurking around in the background. I spot him, I got his. And then that's it. I left.
So for your first house show, TNA-wise, you know, you had a good time, all things told.
Yeah, especially when I've been told that this doesn't happen at WWE events.
I can vouch for that.
Mm-hmm.
The only time you... Go ahead.
No, I was going to say basically what you were going to say, that they do kind of to, like, here's the show, now get out.
Well, the trick with the WWE show is that they're old school in the fact that if you can get to the arena a couple hours before the show, if it's a house show, you get there, like, 2 or 3 hours beforehand and just catch them when they're coming in. You're probably not going to get some big names unless there's only a few people out there. But in the process, we were, you know, the only people, there's only a few people I've seen that don't sign when it comes to WWE house shows. So.
Also, I got one more footnote to add to that.
All right.
Shannon Moore is the biggest prick I've ever laid eyes on.
He must have grown an ego. He was probably the shyest wrestler I've ever known.
Got snubbed twice. That's enough to say on that one.
Mm. Well, Jimmy Yang booted him in the butt to make sure he signed for us at Canton. So, go ahead and throw in my IPW experience. The reason I bring it up is that this was one of the handful of dates that Danielson had signed up for prior to his SummerSlam, his triumphant return at SummerSlam. We had heard that he had to reschedule dates. This is one that he couldn't reschedule. IPW was not changing the date of their anniversary show, especially since they were also able to get a hold of Jimmy Jacobs from Ring of Honor. Kevin Thorne, formerly of WWE CW, and they had called up a couple wrestlers from my area for tryouts, which included a guy I worked with at Jimmy Yang, Tony X, who fought one of Billy Rock's students in a dark match. Tony won, lost the segment, mainly because his opponent was pissed that his mask got ripped off. So it's just kind of a no-no.
Right.
I'm going to skip this six-man tag. I don't know anybody's names. And there were kickballs brought out, but they were not used. I was not happy. Let's see, jobber match. We actually get to the show where they brought out a bunch of former champions, former IPW champions anyway. Dave Davidson, Scotty Vortex, if you're a CCW fan, you know that name. Joey Kid Owens, PT Hustler, Carlton Kaz, a man I managed at Jimmy's, and one other kid that none of us recognized but claimed to be an IPW champion. So we had six former IPW champions beating the crap out of each other. The match was stopped when the skinny guy that nobody knows hurt his knee. Let's see, the IPW Mid-American belt was being defended. Joseph Schwartz of the tag team Kosher Club. This was essentially the breakout match. His opponent, his former tag team partner Sean Tyler, comes out in standard clothes where Joseph comes out dressed as Jesus.
Oh boy.
No, it gets better. Me, Mr. Seidelman, and a bunch of the regular fans,
Seidelman kind of brought this up. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We kind of huddled up, and as soon as the match started, we got a chant started that brought a smile to the heel's face as we started chanting, "Joseph's gonna save you, Joseph's gonna save you."
Yes.
Looked it up and just broke character. So
nice.
Joseph Schwartz retains. It was a fun match. Even outside of all the nonsense and jokes that there's about seven of us in that crowd that are going to hell for every joke that we told.
Pretty much, yeah.
Including post-match when I looked at everybody and said there will be a rematch in 3 days. Thank you for getting that. Let's see, what else have I got in here? We got to see Nevaeh, Ashley Lane, Madison Rayne's former tag team partner, against a gal named Mara Libra, who is not of WWE build, but fairly solid performer. It was a pretty good match. Ted Jr.'s clone named Jesse Emerson faced a guy named Christian Hayne in a last man standing match that included wooden planks, thumbtacks, chairs, no fire, unfortunately. Yes, I know, but this is a Salvation Army Center. They just won't allow it. Everything else was fine, though.
Oh, yeah, having somebody dress as Jesus in the Salvation Army Center, that's fine. But fire, that's where we draw the line, okay.
Yes. So, anyway, so we couldn't burn the place down, but we broke several boards and a few chairs in the process. They decided that's when they're going to have intermission. So,
yeah.
I went and jumped in line, caught up with Jimmy Jacobs, caught up with Kevin Thorne, caught up with Joseph Schwartz, because I still think he is one of the coolest guys. I also got a chance to catch up with Mr. Danielson. Now, this was going to be an awesome story, but I ruined one side of it, and Danielson ruined the other. I had prepared Mr. Williams' ad that we have played on this show for the last 2 weeks, along with pictures of Brian from his dark match at the January 4th Raw, and pictures of him assaulting Michael Cole on an episode of NXT. This was the same night, this was the night he chased Cole around the ring, tackled him into the barricade, and once they shoot him back up the ramp, he punched Miz's lights out.
Right.
I had all those pictures, all that put together on a CD, that didn't make it out the door with me. So, Jim, I apologize, I could have personally handed this to him.
There goes my chance to get somewhere in this business. No, I'm sorry. Only kidding. That's all good.
If it makes you feel any better, I approached Mr. Danielson with my camera and made sure he noticed that I was wearing a tie.
Yeah. This is where it gets good.
He looked at the tie, he looked at me, and he says, "I'm sorry, I don't choke women."
Oh, God.
And on top of this, the karma hammer hits me again when my camera malfunctions. I had to have somebody else take the picture.
Ah, jeez.
No, I'm pretty sure I deserved it. So,
well,
those pictures will come up at some point. Let's see, triple threat, lightweight title match, Dustin Reyes, another man I managed. And some really vanilla guy, unfortunately, dropped to their current champion, Ricochet. There will be a rematch. Ricochet will be facing Dustin Reyes at the October 2nd show in a ladder match. I'll go through the rest of these really quick with the names that showed up. Kevin Thorne faced off against Billy Rock, who's a really good technical wrestler, and was showing that early. Kevin Thorne gets on the mic. He says, "Crosses can't kill me, sunlight can't kill me, wooden stakes can't kill me, but this chain wrestling shit's going to be the end of me."
Oh, there you go.
So we get to brawling, and Billy Rock decides to get cute and does a sunset flip on the much larger Thorne.
Mm-hmm.
He, being the doofus, yells, "Pull his pants down." Billy Rock obliged me. I'm not sure if I should thank him or not.
Oh, great. Full moon at the Salvation Army Center. That's wonderful.
Yes, but I thought it was werewolves that liked full moons. Anyway.
Well.
On top of this, not only are we treated to the bare white bum of a vampire, we discover the vampire's tramp stamp.
Oh, geez.
And we let him have it about that, too.
Yeah, I figured, yes.
Let's see. Irish Airborne over the much smaller tag team DNA in a match that will probably be stolen by the Motor City Machine Guns or vice versa. We're not sure which. Let's see. Moxley and Jimmy Jacobs decided to brawl all over the arena. John Moxley has the HBK clause in his contract. He cannot have a match without bleeding.
Oh, yes. Isn't that the Ric Flair clause?
I'm not sure. Is it the Ric Flair clause or is it the HBK clause?
I always thought
it was Flair because every match he's in is, yeah.
So
we'll call it the Flair Michaels provision. How about that?
There you go. Jacobs was going to add to this because he'd actually brought a pair of scissors to the ring.
Scissors!
This was quickly interrupted by the locker room. Everybody chased Jacobs off. That's just not cool.
Yeah.
Our main event of the evening was a 45-minute clinic of Drake Younger facing off against Brian Danielson. Drake Younger is a CZW guy and has the Flair Michaels provision in his contract. To my knowledge, this night was the first night I've seen him wrestle and not bleed.
Wow.
Now, both of these men are beloved by the IPW faithful, and the ring was showered with streamers a la Ring of Honor. Drake received equal numbers of streamers as Danielson, although admittedly Danielson also had a small appliance of ties. Oops, about a dozen ties ended up in the ring.
I wonder why.
Well, Tiegate is still a very popular thing. In fact, Danielson reached down and picked up a tie, which was Yes Seidelman's, and tried to tie it. Changed his mind and said, you know, they threw some false finishes in, but it was a wonderful match. Drake over Danielson for our main event.
Very nice.
And Danielson got on the mic and said, you know, I know what you guys want to chant. You want to say best in the world. You want to chant all kinds of stuff about me. You chant about him. You chant about IPW. Because we all know
that
Danielson.
That's just class.
Danielson loves his indies. He knows where he came from. He knows where he came from. He's glad to where he's going, but he knows where he came from. So it made the show an amazing experience. And I'm hoping we made some fans that night.
Very cool.
So from that low, I'm going to go all the way up to the top. And a little incident at Friday Night SmackDown.
Okay.
I speak specifically about how Kane is gloating about how he has finally vanquished his brother. To which we know that the dead man just doesn't take that lying down.
Who in the hell do you think you are?
Exactly.
And I'm gonna quote one line because this line just gave us absolute chills. My memory recalls that you called yourself the devil's favorite demon. Have you forgotten that I built the house the devil lives in, brick by flaming brick? And any time I come calling, the devil answers to me with, sir. Sorry. I know it's creepy, gay, spooky, but I love it.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah, I
think you want the Ministry Undertaker back.
Did you just say Biker Taker, Typho?
No, Ministry. Taker.
Yeah, I think we got a taste of that tonight in the main event promo. But a nice touch by Taker. He's still showing some vulnerabilities, just little things.
Mm-hmm.
He had a slight limp when he walked to the ring. You could hear him coughing off mic. He wouldn't cough into the mic. He just, you know, but you did hear it. To show that he still wasn't 100% from recovering from his vegetative state with Michelle McCool. Anyway,
thank you. His honeymoon has that effect upon him, yes.
So, and essentially, his just attempt... And I applaud them for this, an attempt by Undertaker to show that maybe this time he isn't going to beat Kane. I know.
We all know he will be, but yeah.
But we know better.
Yes.
Go ahead, Forrest.
I was going to say, what if they keep pushing it until Survivor Series to where he does have one final time where, pardon the Cena and Rey Mysterio jokes, where he does have to overcome the odds and defeat Kane one last time before riding off into the sunset. Kind of a neat way to kind of bookend things.
We can talk about that in the archives. We'll be right back.
Yes. Ba-dum-bum.
Ta-da, we are in the archives. Essentially, what I think what we've got here is, you know, both of their careers are winding down.
Right.
I would love to see it go all the way to Survivor Series because this is where Undertaker started. This year's Survivor Series would be his 20th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's right. Yeah, it would be.
So this would be a great place for Taker to bow out. I'd hate to see him go. I don't know how good or bad condition, you know, he's in physically right now. Storyline notwithstanding.
Mm-hmm.
But I hate to say it. I've been saying for at least 5 years that this year is the last year. This year is the last year. This year is the last year. And he keeps proving me wrong. So I pose it to you guys. Is this it?
I think it might be. I think it might be. I think this could be that one storyline where he can go off like you guys are, you know, hypothesizing, that it could be that one sunset, you know, fairy tale ending kind of storyline. Put everything, you know, close the door on the chapter, and as such, close the door on the career and pass the torch. It makes a lot of sense. Do I think he's going to be the type of person that's going to stay past his prime, stay too long? I don't know. I'm not sure. But what you're saying makes a lot of sense. It would be nice if, you know, Survivor Series, everything came full circle.
Go ahead, ask him.
Are you still with us?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think if The Undertaker goes out, like one final match or his last appearance or whatever, it's going to be a WrestleMania match. And honestly, I don't think it'll be WrestleMania 27. I think he's going to keep going on the lighter schedule plan and he'll still be around. Or I still think he could be around another 2 to 3 years.
Now, Forth, I interrupted you, and I apologize. Go ahead.
But I was just going to say that the only other motivation I could see would be him trying to go 20-0 at WrestleMania, but I remember hearing reports that to him the undefeated streak doesn't mean that much. So, I don't know.
If he's going to go out at a WrestleMania, though, that's the only way I can see that is if the streak is broken.
Exactly, if he loses.
And I guess I'm just, you know, I like the streak. And it's something that is not going to be matched or broken, I don't think, in our generation.
No. There's no chance of anybody touching that, no. Not even Super Cena, no.
No, because right now, the closest person to that was Edge at 7-0 as of WrestleMania 23.
Mm-hmm. And he doesn't have 12 or 13 more in him, I don't think.
No, and the fact that he lost at 24 kills that.
Well, yeah.
So, nobody even has that kind of record, to my recollection. I could be wrong. But I don't think anybody even has a 5-0 right now. Much less,
Isn't Van Damme like 5-0?
Yeah, but
or 4-0.
Do you count the WrestleMania 19 pre-show though?
No, wasn't part of the pay-per-view.
The free-for-all, yes.
Got bumped for the catfight girl.
You're hurting my brain.
He won at 18. He won at 20. He was out at 21, I think. He won Money in the Bank at 22 and won the ECW Originals New Breed deal at 23.
Right.
So he's 4-0.
But I know he doesn't have 14 left in him.
Right.
And he'd have to come back.
And he would have to come back. And as far as I know, between the wellness policy and indirectly the dress code, he needs to come back.
He might win the WrestleMania Bong Championship, though. So, you know, Bongomania, you know, it's...
Maybe him and Sabu could enter as a team.
There you go.
And then Kendrick and London would be their top competition.
Del Alfonso called all right down the middle.
Are you kidding? He just wants in. But seriously, I really think I would like to see, you know, Baker is somebody who, yes, is very worthy of having a WrestleMania farewell.
Oh, absolutely.
But I find Survivor Series a little more poetic for his character and where it's been going. And, you know, I kind of want to see it. I'd rather see him go at Survivor Series. Because
it would be equally noteworthy if it was Survivor Series. I think it would be as noteworthy as if it were WrestleMania.
Because it comes down to, okay, Taker wants to end his career at WrestleMania, which means that he would most likely have to end the streak. Who's worthy? You know, the IWC is gonna erupt, because my only answer to that right now is Triple H, with Cena being a distant second.
Yeah, and that's about the size of it.
How about the guy that I thought was going to end it one time before, Randy Orton?
Orton's a maybe.
Orton's a strong maybe, because you guys know how much I love Orton, but his match with Taker at 21, I believe. Very good.
That's the one time that I actually thought the streak could end.
I was a bit worried myself. I do.
Any other match Taker's had at WrestleMania anytime recently, I've had no doubts in my mind.
Well,
but
Mark
Orton,
Henry,
I thought Orton might win.
Yeah. Mark Henry, no. Batista, not really, but they put on a hell of a match at 23. Edge, not really, versus Shawn Michaels the first time. It wasn't until we got into the match that I even entertained the thought. But given that Shawn had all the momentum going in, it wasn't going to happen. But White Undertaker Michaels for the win.
Maybe now if you want somebody to end it, how about somebody who's building his momentum fairly quick, Alberto Del Rio.
Oh, jeez.
I hear he's supposed to be a big deal.
Fairly quick.
that's what the promos say. Yes.
That is the MMA of wrestle crap. Oh, boy.
He is the most interesting wrestler on SmackDown. Yes.
To be honest,
it looks like he put out Rey Mysterio, so he might be my new favorite wrestler. I just go take out Hornswoggle since he's back on TV.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. Yes.
I'm ready for Hornswoggle's new angle. What were you going to say, Forrest?
I was going to say that I don't think they should, just to go back to The Undertaker, I don't think they should end the undefeated streak, because look at the New England Patriots a few years ago. The only people that really look at the impressive regular season are people around here. Everyone else, they just remember the Super Bowl. That whole season is just a moot point.
Yes, it was. Oh, sorry.
No, you're fine.
No, but
No,
the Kids Day of the Patriots. I apologize.
Deep down, I don't want to see the streak broken.
It's just too sacred a thing in many regards. I can understand that.
And like I said, you know, even if the streak were to be broken, there really isn't anybody positioned to really take advantage of that. Sheamus isn't ready.
Mm-hmm.
Orton put on a hell of a match with him at 21. Could probably scare me again. I'm not the right person to ask when it comes to Randy.
Orton is probably on the active roster the most positioned, maybe. Because, I mean, yeah, Triple H would be the one person, like you mentioned, who would be at the top of the list, but he's nowhere in the ranking. He's not even on the radar at this point. And who's to say he wants to be on the radar again, quite frankly?
I don't know. His name has been dropped a lot the last month.
Well, it has. But, I mean, does he want to go back to being the status that he was pre-injury? I'm not so sure.
I don't know. That's something that I'm willing to wait and see. I know he wants to come back and at least get his win back over Sheamus. But
oh, sure.
Is it going to be come back and do that and take out Sheamus for the belt? Or do we get Sheamus passing the belt along at the six-pack challenge? And when Sheamus comes out the bitch, we hear Motorhead blasting over the speakers.
And Preparation H bottles are thrown in the ring. No, I'm sorry. No.
Hey.
Maybe have Wade Barrett win the title at a Night of Champions and then have Triple H come back and beat Nexus in a 5-on-1 handicap match to win the title.
Stop that.
Yes, Nexus, which is down one again, so.
Yeah,
that's why I said 5-on-1.
Yeah, Skippy out with the broken ankle.
6 months, so his career's done.
Likely, although...
They'll probably just release him.
I hope not. I really hope not.
I'm still shocked Darren Young hasn't been released.
It just seems DFA is in his future. It just seems that way to me.
I know, and I'm thinking a couple of years ago when they released Sandman when he broke his ankle.
Right.
I know that Sheffield's older, but he's got the build and the look that Vince likes, and he was really starting to get over as a monster. And personally, I think with the right mentor / manager coming, they repackage him and bring him back at the Rumble.
Right.
Just right in that window. Have him come back.
Yeah, to the 4 month end. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, he's not going to come back and win the Rumble, but he's going to get in there and kill a few people.
Well, literally and figuratively, that may be the one thing in hindsight, because a lot of people say he was too aggressive in the ring at times. So
he'll come back at the Rumble until he's eliminated by eventual Rumble winner David Otunga.
Yes, with guest timekeeper Jennifer Hudson. That's right.
I got a button for that.
You get her to appear at WrestleMania, you win the Rumble. You got it, kid?
Boo.
Get her to sing the national anthem, we'll put the title on you.
And now, entrant number 30 in the Royal Rumble, Abraham Washington. Wait a minute.
Well, you get her to appear in a WWE Films production, we'll give you 27 title runs within a year.
Yes.
Just for that, Blog Talk Radio just shut you all off.
That's the story of my life. I'm used to that.
Just for that, Blog Talk Radio condemns you, Typho.
Yes.
No, I'm already well aware of their thoughts on sound bites in the archive. I play that game every week.
We try to see which one would be the best one to go out on.
I usually have to hit my last sound bite with 2 seconds left in my live show because I know it's going to die seconds later.
No, it actually hung on until you started making the David Otunga jokes.
Well, once you hit archive and sound bites are involved and I'm around, things die.
They should really change that, though, with BTR. If you're listening, BTR, change that. Give us sound bites in the archives. Yes.
And I'm sure they're still not too thrilled with my hour-long Iron Sheik Twitter reading.
Oh, my God.
If I was ever going to buy a transcript to my show for the $300 that they want, it'd be that one.
Actually, I would take $300 to type fuck 1,500 times.
No. It'd be fuck, F-A-C-K, so.
So yeah.
Fuck your bullshit.
You're no good mother fat.
So before anybody gets humbled here, I think we're going to go ahead and draw the curtain on this show.
And the drapes. Yes.
But gentlemen, thanks again. I'm glad we were able to get through everything once more, and thank you for putting up with my nonsense regarding the IPW show.
Oh no, fun times. What color tie did you throw, by the way?
Dark red.
Very nice, very
that's
nice.
About
good,
right.
Good call.
I was wearing a silver tie. That's the one that I didn't get choked with. And the one Danielson selected was a light blue tie that Mr. Seidelman provided.
Light blue tie, okay.
Which I'm surprised. Seidelman was supposed to call in and say, Danielson, got my tie!
Yeah, but he didn't. Oh, jeez.
No,
he got caught by Danielson, and he's currently being yelled at that you are not better than me.
You're a poor man's replacement! A poor man's replacement!
And somewhere Kappa Amei is making a cartoon about it. All right, let's call it a day, gentlemen. I've got to work out at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, so I need to scoot on out of here.
All right, good night, guys.
Pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Forrest, thank you for coming by. Typho, thanks for pinch hitting for us. And Jim, thanks again.
Always a pleasure. Take care, folks.
Thank you. Good night, guys.
All right, good night.